This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. William White is the assistant conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra and conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony Youth Orchestra. Last weekend, he and the CSYO performed a concert at Carnegie Hall. William White's also a composer and arranger. Cincinnati Edition listeners should be familiar with his work because he composed our theme music. Will White joins us to talk about his career and time with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. Also joining us, Noah Lohmuller, who plays the trombone, and Kayla Waldron, who plays the violin. And both are graduating seniors, Noah from Mason and Kayla from Wyoming, and they're both planning to pursue careers in music. And Will, Noah, and Kayla, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Will, got to ask you about this. Thanks, first off, for composing the theme music for the show.
My pleasure.
I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Are there any little secret tidbits or backstories to that piece?
I have my own set of lyrics, which I did say that I would disclose at this point. My lyrics for the Cincinnati Edition theme music are... Cincinnati Edition, a Cincinnati tradition. Cincinnati Edition is on the radio now. Yeah. The yeah is very important.
Okay, very catchy. I like that.
Thank you.
What do you think,
so
Noah? Does that pass you? What about you, Kayla?
I think it really describes the show.
Yes.
And Will, tell me about the piece that we just played. That was from last weekend's performance, and that sounds like that would be perfect for a movie soundtrack.
Gosh, I so agree. Boy, can you call Hollywood on my behalf, please? You know, I have written a few pieces for film scores, for sort of indie stuff, for friends of mine who are out in L.A. making movies. So, I do some of that, but I do, you know, concert music, like what we played at Carnegie Hall. That, what we just heard, was the third movement of a symphony that I wrote. And I wrote that symphony for the youth orchestra. I mean, very much with them in mind. We premiered the first movement last season. We premiered the third movement this season. And then we got to play it at Carnegie Hall, which, of course, was a huge thrill.
Noah, what was that experience like for you playing at Carnegie?
Oh, it was awesome. Just looking out in the crowd, it was cool. Like, I loved looking up at the lights and the circle up top. The sound we got was just amazing. And when we got to sit in the audience, just listening to the Columbus Youth Orchestra play, we could just hear how people love the hall itself.
Yeah. But we're better than the Columbus Youth Orchestra, right?
Oh, boy. Putting me on
the spot.
You
don't have to answer that. Kayla, what was the experience of playing at Carnegie like for you?
I've had the fortunate experience of seeing an orchestra play there in previous years, sitting in the audience. So now this time playing on stage and playing to the audience, it was kind of coming full circle to me, and it was a very special time to play on stage.
Well, was playing there the easy part and getting ready to play there the tough part?
Yes, definitely.
Well, how much preparation did you do?
We played music that we've been preparing for mm-hmm. a few months now. It was all pieces that we've performed on previous concerts, so we were well-seasoned and able to get them ready like in the final stages for a really top-notch performance. I think we were really lucky to have a lot of time and a lot of rehearsal time to really prepare ourselves well.
Noah, what was tougher for you, getting ready for it or playing there?
Definitely getting ready for it.
Yeah. Lots of work went into that. How much did they rehearse for that?
Well, you know, we have weekly rehearsals with the youth orchestra. We rehearse on Sunday afternoons down in the basement at CCM. And we had had our final performance of the, say, regular season was on Memorial Day. We play an annual concert out in Eden Park at Season Good Pavilion. That's one of our great traditions. We do sort of a very fun pops concert. And we had played, of the pieces that we had played, we had performed three of them before. We played excerpts from Romeo and Juliet by Sergei Prokofiev. And that piece we had actually done on stage at Music Hall. Because another one of our great traditions in the CSYO is that we play a concert every year side by side with the musicians of the CSO. So those people sort of act as mentors to our students. So that piece, I mean, you know, if that wasn't in good shape, then we were out of luck. Let's just put it that way.
That is, no. What's it like to play alongside the CSO?
Oh, I enjoyed it because my first year, I played bass trombone, and I take lessons from Pete Norton in the CSO. So it was neat getting to sit next to him and then sitting next to Christian. And so it was really cool just to be able to like hear the massive sound of two orchestras playing together on stage.
Kayla, what about you? What's your perspective on playing next to the CSO?
I think it's something that we don't really think about, the fact that we're missing that experience in our playing career, because we take private lessons, we might play in a youth orchestra, we might play in chamber ensembles and those kinds of things. But playing next to professionals who do this as their career, I think it's really interesting, especially as someone who may want to pursue that in my future, to be able to talk to and know and learn from the professionals that do it right now.
Well, tell us some more about the Cincinnati Youth Symphony Orchestra. How long has it been around, and what's its mission?
You know, it's been around since, I think the year was 1960. The first season was 64-65, mm-hmm. And it was founded by Sigmund Efren, who at that point was the concertmaster of the CSO. And it turns out that Sig Efren was also the father of David Efren, who was my conducting teacher when I studied conducting my master's degree at Indiana University. So it's amazing, this kind of weird small world that goes on. But the first concert happened in February of 1965. So another big thing, this has been a huge season for us, another big thing that happened this season was we put on a concert in February in which we honored the 50th anniversary of that first concert of the CSYO.
And what are you trying to accomplish? What's your mission with the youth orchestra?
Well, it's to give a very high level performance opportunity to the most talented students in this region. So our students come from all three states, Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky, come from, I couldn't even tell you how many different school districts. And it's sort of the cream of the crop. I mean, it's the people who are really serious about it. Not to say that they're all going to go into music necessarily. You know, we have people that are going into engineers and become doctors. But, you know, we also have a former concertmaster of the youth orchestra here in Cincinnati is about to become the concertmaster of the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, which is, let's just admit it, the world's greatest. I mean, so the talent in this area and the commitment to music education overall is phenomenal, and it's really reflected in the youth orchestra.
Well, it sounds like it's very formative for young musicians. You're talking about not everybody goes on to a music career, but do a lot of the youth orchestra performers go into music as a career?
A number of them do.
Like
yeah.
Noah and Kayla are
right,
playing?
Right, well, I mean, two perfect examples right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Noah, when did you start playing?
I joined the band in sixth grade with a lot of my other friends, and we just kind of got into it. And then I joined CSYO my sophomore year in high school, so after about 4 years of playing, so I got to do that.
Yeah. How old were you when you actually started playing trombone, though? Were you pretty little? Or
probably 11 or 12.
11 or 12? Okay.
As I've learned, the timeline for string players and wind players are very different.
What about you, Kayla? When did you first get involved playing music and decide violin is it? This is what I want to do.
I started playing the violin when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
Watching my dad play as an adult, I grew up and wanted to do what he was doing at the time. And I've just grown to love it more than I ever thought I could, I think. The difference between the timelines of strings and winds is kind of different.
So there is a difference. Mm-hmm. I never realized that before.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting. Yeah. How dedicated do you have to be, Kayla, to do this?
I had a teacher once tell me, if you want to do this professionally, you have to eat and breathe music. You have to eat and breathe and do everything you do with your instrument. And so really, that's what it's taken. I mean, getting ready for college auditions and now going to college as a violin major, I know that it's going to take a lot more dedication than I've already put in, but it's really, it takes a lot.
Do you have breakfast with your violin?
Sometimes.
You have to eat, breathe, and live with it. Noah, what about you? I mean, how much dedication does it take to do something like this?
At least for me, being a trombone player in a school, I'm playing my school band, I'm in my school marching band. You also have to kind of expose yourselves to other avenues of music. You know, you have to do something like CSYO. You have to do other ensembles just to kind of broaden your horizons and meet new people that can help you with connections later in life.
Now, you had to audition to become part of the youth orchestra, didn't you?
Correct.
What was that like?
A little nerve-wracking. I auditioned my freshman year.
Your expression said it all for a moment there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I came into this big room, and Mr. White was sitting up there, and you know, I played and...
Stern in judgment.
Right, exactly. I didn't make it my first year, so my second year I came into it, I was like, okay, another rejection letter, but thankfully I got in, which was nice.
Very good. So two tries and you were in.
Right.
And if you're telling somebody who was thinking about trying out for this, would that be your primary advice? Don't give up. You might not make it the first time, but if you keep at it, eventually you're going to, if you're really determined.
Right. And exactly. It's an audition. And one of the major things you need as a musician is practice auditioning. So, I mean, audition for as many things as possible if you don't make it.
Okay. Kayla, what about you? What was the audition like for you?
I was in the same boat as Noah, actually. I auditioned my freshman year and didn't get in. So I worked my tail off the next year and was able to get in my sophomore year and have been in it since then. And I have the same advice as Noah. You really just need to practice auditioning. Play for as many people as possible.
Well, you sound like you're tough to get past.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point that they both make is a very good one, which is that I always tell my students that auditioning is a skill in itself, much like taking a test. You know, I mean, at their schools, they all learn about certain test-taking skills and strategies. And there's a whole, I mean, in addition to all of the musicianship that you have to bring to bear, you have to bring to bear a certain kind of calm and strategy for how you're going to approach these auditions. I mean, for example, you know, oftentimes the person listening and adjudicating you will cut you off in the middle of a piece. You can't let that kind of thing phase you, because that does not necessarily mean that things are going badly or particularly well. It could just mean that, you know, you ran out of time and the person listening has heard everything they need to hear, you know? So that is the kind of thing that, you know, can reduce somebody to tears their first time if they've never had that experience that, you know, I was stopped. I mean, you know, what does that mean? So there's a lot of strategies like that. But the other thing I'll say is, you know, both of these students are perfect examples of people who don't make it the first time and then work really hard and then rise to the top of the orchestra. I mean, these are two of the best students I've ever had. So,
well, Will, I'd have to imagine, too, just because you fail the first time, you don't make it in the first time, doesn't mean that you are a failure. You're probably up against some pretty stiff competition
for this. It's so true. I mean, you know, we have like 250, 300 students apply for 100 spots, and those are self-selecting people who apply. You know, I mean, it's not just anybody who can, you know, barely pull the bow across the string. You know, it's people who they're all taking it seriously. Even the ones who don't make it in, you know, the first time, they're really serious about it. And it's just a numbers game, really, is sort of what it boils down to.
What age can kids first apply to play in the youth orchestra?
The CSYO, well, and here I should clarify something, which is that the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra operates a certain educational program. And underneath that banner is the Cincinnati Symphony Youth Orchestras, plural. So we actually have two ensembles. The ensemble that just went to New York and played in Carnegie Hall, and the one that I conduct, is called the Philharmonic, the CSYO Philharmonic. Then we have a second orchestra called the CSYO Concert Orchestra. To be in that second group, you can be, the youngest students are in seventh grade. To be in the Philharmonic Orchestra, it's all high school, so 9th grade through 12th grade. The age, there's no actual age determinants. You know, we sometimes have 13-year-old 9th graders, but that's fine. We have like 19-year-old 12th graders. As long as they're registered in a high school, then they can be in the CSYO Philharmonic.
What's it like conducting for young people versus conducting for adults?
You know, there's a tremendous satisfaction from my point of view of working with young people, because they're playing these pieces for the first time. So I get to introduce them and just to see how they soak up everything like a sponge. It's just, you know, from an educational point of view and from a musician point of view, it's incredibly rewarding. Now, you know, when I'm conducting, say, the Cincinnati Symphony, there are advantages on that side, of course, too, which is that they are seasoned professionals. They know how these pieces work, and they play them incredibly well. But, you know, as a pedagogue myself, I would say that I do love this process of introducing and seeing a group mature. Like, for example, you know, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, like this Carnegie Hall performance is just as good as I can imagine a youth orchestra sounding.
What we played at the beginning was fabulous.
And let me just say this, that we recorded in May, and the Carnegie performance was like 20 times better than that.
Now, is there an automatic move from the younger orchestra to the high school level, or does each kid
have to re-audition? And in fact, even once the students are in the CSYO, they have to re-audition every year. And there are no guarantees that they'll get their spot back. So they really have to keep working every single summer.
Noah, what kind of things have you learned by being part of the youth orchestra?
I definitely learned a lot about the string world. I was just in band and then got to work with the orchestra. I learned a lot about how things work with timing. You know, I can't rely solely on staring at the director or hearing what I hear. I have, because being in the back of the ensemble, obviously there's a delay with sound, so I have to work even harder to really pay attention. And, you know, trombones can't be late.
Kayla, what have you learned by being part of this?
I think I've really learned a lot as far as ensemble playing, in that, you know, sacrificing maybe your specific part for the good of the group, for the sound overall. I played second violin the past 2 years, and so obviously the second violin part doesn't always have the melody, and so to understand how your part fits in with everything that's going on around you and how you have to blend the sound together to get what the director wants, what the composer would have wanted, is really interesting.
How dedicated have your parents had to be to get you through this?
Probably more dedicated than I know.
Noah, what about your parents? What level of dedication have they had to put in as well?
Definitely getting transportation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming down from Mason to CCM every Sunday, as well as just coming to all the concerts.
Now, you're graduating from high school. What's the next step for you?
I'll be attending the University of North Texas this fall. I'm going to study music education there, maybe going to performance. I'm not too sure. I just know I want to continue pursuing music in whatever outlet it shows.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Kayla?
I'll be attending the University of Cincinnati in the fall at the College Conservatory of Music, and I'll be getting a bachelor's in music in violin performance.
Well, what are your plans for the future?
You know, I'm focusing on composing now.
Are you now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So was that your last performance with the youth orchestra?
Yes, there's a single tear falling from my eye right now. It's true. Yeah, Carnegie. But I mean, what a way to go out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you just can't imagine something more magical. And you know, the other thing that was great, I mean, the Carnegie performance was a career high for me, definitely. But, you know, we were on a 3 or 4 day tour in New York. So we got to do all kinds of other fun stuff. And it's just great for me to leave, you know, really getting to bond with all the students in the youth orchestra. That was really special.
Yeah, Noah and Kayla are shooting for careers in music. What does it take to make a career as a symphony musician?
Oh, as a symphony musician, takes a lot of dedication. I mean, you know, most of the time when students are planning to go into a career in a symphony orchestra, they will go to study, they will go take an undergraduate degree in their instrument. Mm-hmm. Most often they will then pursue an advanced degree, like a master's or an artist diploma, what it's called sometimes, you know, a 2 to 3 year degree at, you know, maybe a different institution. Then they will do these kind of audition workshops. Then they'll go start taking auditions. And, you know, it can take a long time. It can take many auditions to finally land a job. And, you know, that first job you might land, if you're lucky enough to wind up someplace like the Cincinnati Symphony, then you've got a really wonderful full-time employment. But oftentimes you might, you know, find a position at an orchestra that's barely part-time and, you know, kind of struggling. And you might have to play in several different orchestras that have kind of partial seasons going on. And, you know, you're lucky if you can live in a region that supports multiple orchestras that are part-time. But it takes a lot of hard work and dedication. There's a financial commitment because, you know, you've got to find some way to get an instrument that is, you know, of the caliber to perform in one of these orchestras. You know, that takes a lot of money. And then, you know, travel fees to get to different auditions and, you know, money for lessons and, of course, for your schooling. So it's a huge commitment all around.
Well, and can you give us an idea of this in a symphony orchestra, how many spots are open for, say, a trombone or a trumpet or a violin?
Well, I mean, take trombone. I mean, there's two tenor trombones in every orchestra. There's one bass trombone. You know, if you play tuba, I mean, being a tuba is like being a conductor. There's one in every orchestra, you know? And so, you know, strings, there's more slots, of course. But the competition is usually fiercer. I mean, there's more violinists out there who are playing at the top of their game. I mean, there's so many amazingly talented string players out there, and musicians of all stripes, but who are competing for these same spots. It's, you know, the numbers game is truly against the individual applicant, I have to say.
Do you know how many former orchestra members have gone on to play in professional orchestras throughout the country?
Well, a number of them. I mean, the one that I brought up, Noah Bendix Begley. I mean, he is, of course, the outstanding example. I mean, to achieve that level. And he's, I don't even think he's 30 years old yet. And to get the, he was the concertmaster of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, and now he's going on to Berlin. You know, I don't know exactly how many from the CSYO have gone on to prominent careers, but I can tell you this, there are a number of players in the Cincinnati Symphony who began in the CSYO, and they're more than happy to tell you about it. And that's another special thing about the side-by-side concert that we do every year, is that, you know, these people who started out in the CSYO and are now doing this at the highest professional level get to mentor these young people, and they see themselves, you know, when they were that age on the same stage.
Noah, this sounds almost like you're competing to get on a professional sports team. Are you are you ready for what's ahead?
I hope so.
Yeah. Kalo, how do you feel about this? You're going to be facing a lot of competition in the future. Are you looking forward to that?
I am looking forward to that. It is kind of like a sports team in some ways. I mean, you definitely have to keep yourself in shape, your body healthy. I mean, that's all plays into how you perform, how you handle, you know, anxiety, different things like that.
Very few spots, really, and you're competing against lots of really, really good people. Mm-hmm. So what would be your advice, Noah, for anyone who's thinking about launching off into a career in music? A young person who's thinking about, you know, I want to do this.
So what advice to them? Myself.
Yeah, advice to yourself.
I would just say go for it if you really feel like that's what you can do in life. And, I mean, music has opened up a great avenue for me. You know, like, I don't really know what else I would do outside of music. And thankfully, I have found a way to make that happen. So I think if the shot opens up for you, you might as well take it.
Yeah. Kayla, what about you? What would you tell people who are thinking about they want to go into a career in music? Advice to yourself.
I think if you can take a step back and that's the only thing you can see yourself doing in the near future, you know, in the next 4 years, 6 years, in that kind of time, in past that, if that's all you can see yourself doing and that's what you want to give all your time, all your money, everything you have into, I say go for it.
Well, Will, Noah, and Kayla, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. William White's the assistant conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra and conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony Youth Orchestra. Also, Noah Lohmuller and Kayla Waldron, graduating seniors who are planning to pursue careers in music. The 2015-2016 Cincinnati Symphony Youth Orchestra auditions are now open, and the applications should be received by 5 o'clock Friday, August the 14th, to guarantee an audition time. You can find a link to more information at wvxu.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. Kenton County is a mix of urban, suburban, and rural areas stretching north from Covington south to just past Fiskburg. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll take a look at Kenton County's past and future as it celebrates its 175th birthday. We'll also discuss the new MyNKY plan that will be Northern Kentucky's blueprint for the next 5 years. And in Focus on Technology, we'll learn more about new window tinting technology. That's on Cincinnati Edition, Monday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.